this. We need a copywriter.
I know. I'm sorry. My lord.
Let's not insult any other races or cultures.
The wee wee frog frog.
Way to keep it classic, Canada.
The Finnish conspiracy.
Make them pay.
With chemistry, you can melt ice. You can't control the pup if you don't control the pup. The button stopped working. I've had to press it so many times.
Toothpaste, Fenris wolf, and rotations per minute.
It's a love affair.
Welcome to episode 37 of Three in the Box, the Minnesota Hockey Podcast. This is being recorded Wednesday, March 19th, 2014. This is Aaron, and in tonight's episode, we talk hockey milestones, free holla, Briz Nasty, and Molson Knight at Nassau Coliseum. In the studio with me is Kenny.
What up? And by the way, I do not condone the use of Briz Nasty. I'm anti-Briz Nasty.
And on that note, across from him is Jive.
Hey.
And we've got that Meat Beast somewhere doing something with the somethings and the somethings somehow.
I think he's doing something charitable.
Okay.
Yeah.
Charitable's okay.
Yeah. We'll go with it. Yeah. And we'll just take this moment to plug. Follow us on Twitter, at Three in the Box. We can follow us. Most people think we are drunken slobs when we're on the Twitter. But, you know, we're highly recommended as a Twitter follow during the game time, as we like to live snark during the game. And
there might be some alcohol involved.
There's a little alcohol involved. So it's been a while since we have had an episode. How was your guys' St. Patrick's Day? We just had this on Monday here.
Yeah, you know, it wasn't horrible. Got out of doing a lot of stuff that I thought I was going to do. Wild still, you know, lost that day, but
can't have everything, I guess.
So. No, in Boston, out of all places.
And I'm not Irish. Many other things, but not Irish. But I don't need an excuse to drink.
Hear, hear.
Yeah, cheers.
And with that, you know, let's dump right in the news. So, like I said, it's been a couple weeks since we had a game. Since we last spoke, the Wild have only won two of their seven games, but three of those were losses, and that went to a shootout, meaning that over the seven games, the Wild still earned 7 points. The Wild are now 7 points up on ninth place Dallas, that is keeping them in the playoffs, and 5 points up on the eighth place Phoenix. I don't know how you guys are feeling right now about where the Wild are sitting in the playoff standings.
I think, honestly, if you look at the points across the league, they should be not in a wild card position. They are definitely in one of the toughest conferences or one of the toughest divisions in the league. Any other division would be a guaranteed playoff spot. Now we're fighting for a wild card chance, and I think last I saw, Blackhawks were kind of smoking St. Louis tonight, which would now put them up a little bit farther. So, I mean, I think we're sitting like, what, 12, 14 points behind even a guaranteed playoff spot?
Right.
Maybe it's time for realignment.
It's only been a year, so it sounds about right.
Yeah,
you know?
About right. We're about on schedule.
So, I don't know. I think their chances of making playoffs, I think, are still good. I don't see them not making playoffs, especially with, you know, a lot of the East Coast teams that they still have to play that aren't playing very well and that are trading guys away, i.e. the Islanders that, you know, we just destroyed the other night.
Well, they've had 7 points in seven games. They're basically playing .500 hockey. Is that really a playoff team, though?
It's not.
I mean,
it's a borderline team.
Because honestly, even 500 isn't really 7.7 games. That's not really a 500 team in hockey, considering every game has a potential for 3 points, and there's been plenty of 3 point games out there this season. Yeah. So in theory, they're really been playing just below 500 over the last week.
Well, where do you get 3 points from?
2 points for the win, and then 1 point for the overtime loss, or the it's 3 points going towards the standings
towards
in general.
I see.
Yeah.
I see.
You know, with that, I mean, some of the teams that we lost to in this last 2 weeks, Stars are one team we should not be losing to right now.
No doubt.
St. Louis.
it's understandable with St. Louis, but
St. Louis is right now fighting for the President's Cup, President's Trophy.
Right.
But losing to them in a shootout, it still hurt.
But, you know, once it got to the shootout, Oshie's shooting. Granted, Oshie only got to shoot once. rather than in the Olympics when he got to shoot like 100 times.
But what did he do when he shot?
He scored.
Yeah. And then losing to the Oilers, even though the Oilers aren't there right now with us.
That's inexcusable, really.
It's still a bad loss in a shootout. And then, you know, then we get into some of the Eastern Conference teams with the Rangers, which we beat.
Yep, beat the Rangers.
Lost the Blue Jackets in a shutout, which a lot of teams did not want that game going into extra frames just because both teams are fighting in that position.
Right.
Bruins took a bad loss against them, even though, I mean, the first period we looked great.
Well, I don't know about if I'd say great, but they looked okay.
They were out shooting Boston, but they were getting out hit almost 2-1.
Right. And Rask was not giving up anything in that game.
No, and then obviously we just really kind of handed it to the Islanders last night, which was good, which we'll talk about later with some of the... Yeah, some.
It was well overdue.
Molson's homecoming with that game.
Yeah.
So speaking of...
might as well get into the week, I guess, right?
Yeah, let's talk about some stuff here. Or the weeks that
the
were.
The weeks, yes.
since it's been so long. Was it a little over a week ago when the Wild played against the Oilers? Matt Cook actually was playing his 1,000th game of his career.
Man,
that's a pretty lengthy and enduring career. I mean, to be able to play 1,000 games, that says something about the guy.
He was drafted in 98 was his first official season. So 98, 99, and 99, 2000, he was up and down with Vancouver and then their AHL affiliate. Yeah. But after that, I mean, pretty much been full-time NHL. And considering that we lost a season in there in 04, 05, lost a half a season last year, I mean, he should have made this milestone 2 seasons ago, at least.
Just to clarify, drafted in 97, made his debut in 98.
Okay, yeah, so 98, 99, he was up and down. 99, 2000, he was up and down.
Yep, you got it.
Yeah, a milestone he should have made a couple of years ago. What is he, 35 years old?
35, I think.
35, yeah.
So, I don't know, I see him having a couple more seasons.
I honestly think it's really amazing considering... you know, in the beginning of his career, he still wasn't. He's never been much of a scorer. I mean,
right? He can put the puck in the net.
He can. But he's going to be your third line, fourth line guy,
right?
And for a third or fourth line guy, he scores with a good deal of regularity.
Very true.
But it's kind of crazy how he's kind of ever since the his incidents in Boston a few years back, he's kind of like turned his career into a different sort of player. I mean, he hasn't had barely any penalties this season, it doesn't seem like.
He's reborn.
He is.
Well, I know a lot of Minnesota fans did not care for him when Minnesota picked him up, and he said he was changed, and it was kind of like, well, let's see it and prove it, because we don't need a guy in the team who's going to be taking dumb penalties and getting suspended.
Right.
But he has changed. I mean, I think his style of play hasn't changed, but I think his attitude maybe a little bit has changed, not being nearly as just on the cuff taking stupid penalties. He's been pretty good about his play, but still very physical and still somewhat of an agitator, but clean.
Right.
And just like the rest of us, I mean, you know, you mess around in your 20s, but when you reach your 30s, and you finally start to figure things out, right?
Yeah, in 2010, 2011, he had 129 penalty minutes in 67 games. I believe that might have been the season with Savard's hit. I can't remember.
I think so, because I think that was the year he won the Cup. No, it was after.
Yeah, it was after. 129 minutes in 67 games. This season, he's at 52 minutes in 69 games. And actually, the last 3 years, he's been... had less penalty minutes than games played, which...
Can I get that charted out from you in our show notes so I can see how that progressed over time?
I certainly can. It'll be mind-blowing.
Okay. But, yeah, definite downward trend there. I mean, obviously, coming about as a player and maturing and, you know...
I think he's looking more at milestones now, like positive milestones, than anything else and just trying to prolong his career as long as possible.
Right.
I mean, he still has, I don't know, I think he still has a few good years in him as a third line player.
Yeah, I mean, as long as he can stay healthy, I mean, and even said, he's got 25 points in 69 games this season. So it's not like
it's not bad.
It's not bad considering the minutes he's getting, which isn't, it's a good amount of minutes, but it's not like first line minutes. And he's still contributing positively to this team, which we can't say for all the third and fourth line guys on this squad.
No, definitely not.
You know,
there's a lot that aren't pulling their weight.
No. And he's definitely doing that. And especially the guys that have been around the last couple of years, you know, it's where we haven't really seen the production. It's a nice change of pace.
Yep. Definitely a nice cushion to have somebody, you know, a seasoned veteran back there who you can count on, like you said, on a regular basis to put the puck in the net. You know, the first and the second lines can't carry a team. You gotta have that depth throughout the team. And I think that he's a positive addition in that. He is, you know, I mean, he's aging and getting along in his career here, but I definitely think, you know, he's probably got a couple more good years in him.
Well, speaking of some third and fourth line guys, one of my favorite players, especially, you know, being he played for the Gophers, Eric Halla, was benched last game.
Benched.
Scratched. Thanks, Jeb. And then, you know, there's been some controversy on what players, you know, should be scratched and what players should be up. One of the big controversies, and a lot of people had mentioned the Yo, is that, you know, why not Brodziak? And Yo's response was, well, we're happy with Halsey right now. Let's be honest, though, there's a difference when you're playing on the third line compared to when you're playing on the fourth line. Now,
Yo!
You know, in the last month, Hollow's got a shorthanded goal and an assist. Brodziak has two goals and two assists, but Brodziak's also playing about twice the amount of minutes.
Right.
What's not to say Hollow wouldn't step up and do that? I feel that Hollow should have been up. Brodziak has had some really, really bad plays defensively as of late, one of which led to a goal, I think the Columbus game?
Boston
game.
Yeah, Boston.
When it was a pretty tight game yet, you know, right. and that really changes the momentum.
Not to interrupt you, but another thing to take into consideration between Brodziak and Halla is Halla is also playing on PK. So a lot of those minutes are PK minutes rather than
this is true.
Even strength minutes. So,
true. With that shorthanded goal, should Halla have been the one being scratched, you know, why not promote him to the third line and put Brodziak on the chopping block at that point when Halla, in my opinion, is playing better than Brodziak?
And I think that's that's a great question because you also have to look at, where do we go next year? Brodziak's around for at least another year, I believe, on his contract. I know we'll have Heatley, and it's probably not likely Heatley will stick around just because of the money.
At least not stick around for what he's getting paid now.
Right. But we're going to have guys that are knocking on the door wanting spots. You're going to have the Hollas. You're going to have Fontaine. You're going to have Zucker. You're going to have these kids that are going to need to grow. And if we bring in anyone, if we happen to bring in a Vanek.
Or even re-sign Molson.
Right. Where is their spot for Brodziak? And he's getting paid a lot of money. Honestly, I'm thinking, I understand why Yo doesn't want to do it. Brodziak is, he's paid well, and in the past, at least, he's produced. And he does have flashes here and there. But at the same point, I'm almost thinking, you know, he's going to play out this year, and then I think he's a prime candidate for one of the compliance buyouts. Since he was signed before the CBA, he can be bought out. I think he's a prime candidate just because his production isn't worth the $3 million or whatever we're paying him right now.
I would rather see him get put on the market, and if Fletcher's really looking at getting some younger guys in here and getting some talent, put him on the market and get some first round draft picks out of him or for him, or maybe a trade with a couple of first rounds or a first round and a second round with a decent trade with a younger guy. We've got the younger talent right now. You got to let them develop.
Well, now, and on top of that, we have guys like Granlund, who before long are going to be RFAs and are going to be having a bigger payday.
Oh, absolutely.
And Kemper. Kemper and Granlund, I think, are both coming up in a year or two here. We're going to need to pay them. Can we really be dedicating $3 million to Brodziak when those kids are sitting there? And it'd almost be nice just to, if we could just get picks for Brodziak and get just free up that space and, you know, maybe sign Granlund or Kemper or one of those kids early and get them locked in a little earlier, that's a big win, too. Get them locked in at a cheaper price.
Right. Which also begs the question, I mean, how do we want to just keep a younger team or do we want to start keeping some veterans around? We're obviously going to have Parisi and Suter around for quite a while to lead the team. Koivu, who knows? And we'll get into some more on Koivu later, but where is he going to be at in 3 years? Is he going to be nearing that position as well? How long do we want to keep these guys around? Is it worth keeping multiple veterans around, or should we keep one or two leaders that can bring up these younger guys that have pure talent?
Well, let's be honest. We don't have a ton of veterans right now. Yeah. We got a lot of kids. I mean, and those kids are going to need to get paid at some point.
This is true.
Yeah. I mean, I guess from my point of view, yes, you want to bring up your young talent, but you do need to keep some sort of a veteran crew around that is kind of the glue. I mean,
right.
That's what's going to hold your team together in the end when thick comes to, or, you know, push comes to shove and things get a little bit rough. Because, you know, every day, obviously, you can't win on the ice. And it's easy for a team to head south when things go wrong if you don't have that sort of veteran leadership around.
This is true, but at the same point, if you don't leave room for kids to grow and develop and have them playing third and fourth line all the time, they're never going to develop. And you're going to be overpaying on that free agent market to try to fill your lines.
Or you're going to be getting rid of that talent for dirt cheap, and they're going to develop into something great.
Right.
Who was it the Wild traded to Chicago a few years back?
Nick Leddy.
Yeah, Nick Leddy.
Yeah.
Was that Rise? Was that early Fletcher? Or
that was early Fletcher.
Or was that late Risenberg?
That was for the Mr. Cam Barker experience.
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah. That's worked out. That's probably been Fletcher's worst trade.
Well, he was still young with the Wild organization at that point.
Yeah, I guess I'll
You know, but look at Chicago, though. Chicago's been getting the young guys and rotating them in and out as need be and keeping a couple of very successful players that they locked up
early
on when they were younger for a good amount of money, which is why they've been playing how they've been playing.
You can't argue with their success. I mean,
you really can't. And, I mean, Detroit was doing the same thing when Detroit was on top, finding a bunch of young players, mm-hmm. locking them up when they were young. You know, and I think Fletcher is trying to do that same thing right now. And maybe it's worth getting rid of some of these old veterans that aren't doing it for the Wild right now or are just mediocre.
Yeah. I mean, it's a recipe for success, if you ask me. You got to have some sort of veteran glue to hold everything together. And, you know, you can have as many young guys as you want, but they got to kind of learn from somebody.
Well, speaking of successful veteran glue, we got to see the Wild's newest veteran here take the ice, Brizgalov, or as
Humangus big,
as I called him earlier, Briz Nasty, which Kenny opposed to.
Nah, you know, we saw some person post that on Twitter, tweet that on Twitter, and I was just like, ah.
But he did play with Briz Nasty.
He did
two seasons with him. So
he did, but you know, Briz Nasty is still Briz Nasty. Give him his credit.
Well, anyway, Brizgalov, he's now played two games.
Humangus big.
And despite giving up two goals early in his first game, he's now played five straight periods without a goal. If you were not talking about shutout, but that's not a real period, so I'm not going to count that. Or not shutout, shootout. And he stopped 56 of 58 shots on goal so far this year. So the real big question here is he's so far is doing pretty good in two games. He's had some times where he looks a little flaky, but you know what goalie doesn't have those moments?
Oh, absolutely.
Where you're going, what the hell are you doing? You know, but that being said, well, it doesn't look good for Backstrom coming back this year. I don't think the Wild have officially ruled him out, but it doesn't look good. And then Harding, we get conflicting reports here and there that gives us hope that he's going to make it back. But is there what happens if Backstrom or Harding make it back before the end of the season? What the hell will the Wild do?
I can't see him just taking this away from Kemper. It's pretty much been touted that Kemper is the number one goalie for the Wild right now.
So you're saying Brizgalov, after a shutout, will not start tomorrow?
Well, and that's the other dilemma. what the management in the Wild organization right now have a pretty tough goalie controversy on their hands right now. Because, I mean, if you get Backstrom healthy and Harding healthy this season, this is a big hypothetical if, you now have four top goalies.
Yo.
You'll ride the hot hand. Yo, Will. I mean, that's
so you're saying he's gonna start Briz tomorrow?
That's what I would go with. That's what I would bet on. Kemper, I wouldn't say that Kemper's been doing horrible, not by a long stretch.
Right.
I mean, he's been solid in net, but you know, his last couple outings, you know.
Well, he's gotta be getting tired. He's been getting played every game.
That's why I take advantage of it. You got to take advantage of it if you've got, you know,
but on a decent
backup.
On that same token, though, if you look at the goals he's given up in the last few games, they haven't been. I mean, they've been goals that would have been goals on just about any other goalie in this league, with the exception of the knuckle puck.
The knuckle puck was.
I would say that's probably the hardest shot that he faced.
I don't know. He faced a lot of hard shots.
That knuckle puck that you speak of was deflected on the way there. Yeah, it bounced off Brodin's elbow or something. Somebody's elbow or something. Who was there?
It was already a flaky shot, so I was like,
yeah.
I just dropped, too.
Yeah, it did.
I mean, I don't know if you guys have ever tried to hit like a curveball or a knuckleball, but it's an amazing feat to try to do that. So.
Well, Kemper's last five games, he's 1-4 over the last five games.
I think he just needed a rest.
Granted, the games before that, he had five wins before that, five straight wins.
Right.
So, I don't know. I don't know if you're playing devil's advocate here or not, but it would shock me if Yo started Briz tomorrow. But you know what? But it's true, though. Yo's going to need to balance his goalie situation. Otherwise, he's going to burn his guys out.
We brought this up multiple times. He's notorious for riding the hot hand and then burning them out. And then all of a sudden, now you got guys that have to play from behind rather than just staying somewhat on top or at least above water. You know, it's like, I'm going to just let you sit here and tread water till you get tired. You sink about 40 feet. We got to rescue you and then have your rescuer start treading water until he's ready to sink.
Something to say in Yo's defense here, though. When you've got a goalie who's hot, I mean, they're in a zone. It's and basically, if you take them out of a game and make them sit on a bench for a whole game and just sit there and watch, they're going to get their cold feet back. They're going to, you know, if somebody is on, they're on. And I mean, regardless of how weathered your body is feeling, when you're in that zone, you just, you know, you can just do it and go. And so sometimes sitting a goalie who's hot is not necessarily the smartest, in my opinion. I have to kind of go with Yo's side there.
I remember back when who was it that was coaching the Wild?
Lemaire.
When Jacques always had the hot goaltenders, and like when we had Fernandez and
Rollison
and. And Lemaire was, from what I recall, was really good about basically making them a team, a tag team, where it was one in, one out, one in, one out, and the chemistry between them seemed great.
Right.
Nobody seemed to lose it or go off the edge. It was, the games that they lost were not a huge separation, and the, you know, where each of these guys knew that they were going to be getting their minutes, and it's like, hey, all right, his turn in. I'm going to support him as much as I can, and I got next game, and I know that's coming up.
Well, and that was with, you know, two solid goaltenders. And really, if you look at the Wild this entire year, have they been able to say that for the majority of the games, they've had two solid goaltenders where it's been a hard decision of who to start?
No. It's been injuries with goaltenders all year long. Yeah. And nobody knows who's going to be doing what. You know, Kemper, when he first started coming up with the Wild,
It was shaky.
Very shaky. At that point, he didn't know what was going on. And nobody did. Right. He was up and down, up and down. He didn't know if he should be going to bed in a hotel or getting ready to pack his bags and jump on a flight.
Right.
That's going to throw anybody off their game. Now, since I think he's gotten more comfortable with the organization and knowing what's going on, he can sleep better at night, at least a little bit, considering the pressure that's on him.
Right.
But, knowing that he has Brizgalov right there to back him up, I see no reason why Yo doesn't start alternating guys, especially getting closer to the playoffs where you don't want to burn out one goalie or the other.
Well, and especially if both of them are playing well.
Exactly.
The problem is he's not going to go alternate 1-2-1-2. He's going to do 5 until they start losing 3 in a row, then 5 until they 5-6 or whatever it is until they lose.
We don't have that many games left, so.
But you know what? That's going to go into the playoffs, and that's going to kill us in the playoffs.
Yeah, and then he's going to ride his hot hand going into it, and what's going to happen is that hot hand is going to be on their down streak first round of the playoffs, like it happened last year against Chicago.
Yeah.
Oh, yo, yo!
I'm calling the prediction here.
So you're calling it that Yo'll be gone then at the end of the season when we go out in the first round?
Unless he can get him past the first round, I think so. I think we're gonna see a coaching change after this year. If he can get in, maybe to third round, I think he's got a chance of keeping his job. But
I really think it is kind of a funny way that it seems that sports in general are just kind of going these days, where the coach, the guy who stands on the sidelines, the guy who sits behind the bench, paces behind the bench, the guy who sits in the dugout, this is the guy. Yes, he makes the starting lineup, but he doesn't play for the guys. He's not the one making the errors on the ice, dropping the ball in the field, or watching a puck go through the 5-hole. How does it always all come back to just one single person?
Well, you also have to imagine, these owners and the GMs are paying a lot of money to players that should be winners, and if you don't want to blame the players that you might have on contract for another 5 years, who else do you blame?
That's why I'm saying maybe they need some incentive-based contracts for these players.
You know, though, it is also the coach's job to figure out the lines, figure out who's going to be doing what, and to make that chemistry happen.
And honestly, I think a lot of it, a lot of what a coach's job is dealing with chemistry. And, you look at, how many times does he shuffle the lines?
Oh, boy.
So,
I'm not happy with him about that.
If you're a GM and you're looking at that, you're going, this guy can't figure out lines that work.
He doesn't know what he's doing.
Okay. So, I understand what you're saying is that the blame always goes to the coaches when it's not usually due. And I would say, even in this case, if the Wild don't get very deep in the playoffs, I can't blame Yo totally because we got young guys, and beyond, the Parisi, Pominville, Granlund line, no one's scoring on this team.
Right.
It's helped a little now with Molson here, but you still only got two lines that score.
Okay, so going with that, Aaron, the Parisi, Pominville, Granlund line, had Koivu not been hurt, would Koivu be on the second line? Do you think he would have pulled him off the first, or would he have kept him going because he's the captain? And
that's actually a great question. That's what-if territory, but it probably is true. He probably would have never.
And at that point, where are they going to be for scoring right then?
Right.
Because we all know that the top two scoring pairs have been Pominville and Granlund. If they're not the top two, they've had the prettiest scoring pairs between the two of them.
Right.
Those guys can find each other. And Pominville found Granlund. Last night, just as easily as Granlund tends to find Pominville when they're on a line
and
together.
And you toss Parisi in there, and Parisi's got the same mentality, and plus Parisi will park himself in front of the net,
and he'll get the garbage that those guys are shooting there.
Right. It's really that sort of combination that Yo needs to find, and if he can't find it, that's a coaching failure. But it also goes beyond just that. I mean, we don't know how he reacts in the clubhouse. I mean, I remember reading that Todd Richards' big thing was that he was basically just a douchebag in the locker room, and he wasn't available as a coach. And if you have players that don't want to play for you, that's things are not going to work well.
Yeah, there's a lot more beyond the hour and a half or 2 hours that they spend on the ice every day. Well,
that's what happened with was it Babchuk in Washington? Was it Babchuk who was coaching for the Capitals and basically
Boudreaux.
Yeah, thank you, Boudreaux.
Yeah,
wrong B.
Yep.
But basically he got canned because the players wouldn't listen to him. I mean, at that, you know, and I still think Washington has way too many egos on that team.
Yeah, a lot of Russians.
A lot of talent, but you know, with that talent, you should have cups by now.
Or look at Vancouver right now with Tortorella. Tortorella is, you know, vinegar and water, and it's just, he's not, his team is spiraling out of control.
Spinning out of control, exactly.
You know, and he doesn't have the temperament to guide a team that loses and can stay competitive. He's just out of control. Well,
Tortorella did win a cup, though, with Tampa Bay.
Florida,
yeah. Was it the Panthers? Yeah. I thought it was the Lightning.
Maybe you're right. Anyway, one of the Sun Belt teams.
But, so, I mean, he does have the talent, or does have the coaching ability to coach talent.
Yeah, but he wore out his welcome in New York, and it's looking like it's going to happen in Vancouver, too.
This is the thing. I don't know. I just don't see it ever anymore where, a coach has, longevity in a place, and he brings his system in. And, I mean, we just work this system and work it, and we just know it here. You come into Minnesota, this is how we play.
True.
There's, you know, I don't even really see that really anywhere around the league.
Hitchcock. Hitchcock will bring his style of play to any team and they'll win.
Bring it to any team. Okay. But, where's your history? I'm talking keeping it with one team, you know? I mean, coaches didn't shuffle around like this in the past.
But hockey's always been the coach brings his system. You know, Hitchcock is that way. Lemaire was the same way.
Lemaire, definitely. What's his name from Detroit? I'm
Babcock?
Yeah, that would be Babcock.
Yep.
In Detroit. and even Chicago's coach, too.
Yeah.
They bring it. They have also had, not so much Hitchcock, because Hitchcock can just make a team.
Right,
I don't understand that guy's. I don't know what voodoo that guy has, but he can turn any team into a winning team.
But even so, I think he's only got one cup.
This is true.
So he may be a winner, but he's not.
Actually, he got that with Dallas.
He got that with Dallas. Yep. So even then, there's limitations, there was an argument that going back to our whole conversation about Yo and whether he's going to be around. There was a conversation I think I read on Reddit. Where they're talking about whether Yo should be, I think this might have been before the season, whether he should have been retained because of how poor he had done and because they lost in the first round or whatever, despite the big pickup of Parisian Suter. And I was like, wow, it's only his second year and people are already down on him. And then I looked online and I looked at the last 20 Stanley Cup winners and the head coach, how long they had been with that team.
Yeah.
And majority of them had either been already won a cup with them, so they had been there 7 years, and so I'm not going to count that against them because they had won a cup in their first 2 years. Mm-hmm. But a majority of them had won cups within their first 3 years, so it's that's why teams don't hold on to coaches, because if you haven't done it in 3 years, what's to say you're going to do it in seven? Yeah. You know,
I suppose there's a. You know, I guess there's things to say for both ways. But,
yeah.
Because how do you continue to, you're bringing in personnel for Coach A, and you're working on that for 2 or 3 years. P people that fit into their system and work their way. And, okay, well, you're not working. Going to get you out of here. You bring some other guy in. Coach B now has to deal with player or Coach A's players, if I'm confusing you yet. And then once
can you
he,
chart this out for he, us later?
Once he finally starts to get his guys in there and hasn't won a cup, because there's only one team that can win a cup a year. Everybody can't win the cup. So, and now he's not doing well with the Coach A's players, but he's got some of his guys in. They start to do a little bit better, but not good enough to stay around. And so now in comes Coach C with Coach B's players. And that sounds like an endless cycle to me.
Kind of is. Until you get that right combination.
Just the right combination.
So speaking of the right combination, Matt Molson came up with a huge right combination twice the other night against his first time back against his former team of this year, of this season.
His original team.
So he seems to be fitting, you know, and we've touched on this, but he seems to be fitting in pretty well with the Wild organization, the lines that he's been put with. It's at least two skaters that have shown promise that Fletcher has now snagged from Buffalo in the past two seasons, him and Palmaville. You think Molson will keep it up like Palmaville? And you think he'll be re-signed at the end of the season?
I'm going to say I don't know about at least the end of the season. I don't know. I know I think it was the beat writer for one of the New York papers said that they felt that there was a good chance that Molson would come back to the Islanders, which I just don't get because the Islanders are a mess.
Yeah, who would want to
they
come
are
back
a mess of
that.
A team. I mean, they had Vanek. They traded Molson and a couple picks for Vanek. And then had Vanek for a couple months, fell apart, and Tavares gets injured. Then they trade Vanek for a second rounder.
That boggles my mind still.
So basically they traded Molson. They basically got nothing. I mean, they basically gave away Molson in a pick or two.
I'm wondering
for a couple months of rental of Vanek.
I'm wondering if Vanek didn't have some issues with playing with the Islanders and there wasn't some behind-the-scenes drama going on. who would give up Vanek for a second round pick?
I love the there's a line on Twitter last night and it was like fans in Minnesota can't believe there's snow in March and fans in on Long Island can't believe Garth Snow is still leading the Islanders in March.
That
was a great tweet and that team is just in shambles. So I know there's word that he might be open going there. I can't see why he would. I guess I don't know if it all depends on the Wild whether the money shakes up because if you look at getting Molson, keeping Molson, you're going to pay him. And if you try to bring in someone else like a Vanek, all your dollars are gone at that point, and you're not going to be able to retain guys like Granlund, like Kemper, the younger guys, Spurgeon, Scandella. We've got a lot of guys coming up that are going to need to get paid.
They're looking for their payday.
And right. I don't see Molson or Vanek looking for less than a five-year contract right now.
They're going to be looking long-term, and they're going to be looking big bucks. I think Vanek's cheaper right now than he would have been a couple years ago, so that's not a bad thing. But then again, we're going to be getting him as an older player. I mean, he's not going to be as young as he was. No one ever is, but
he's not going to be the all-star he was. Few years back.
No, I mean, he's struggling to get a point a game. He's going to do well, but, is he going to turn into Gabrick? Like, if you look at his career arc to Gabrick's, they're pretty similar, actually. And we know what's happened to Gabrick. He's going to turn into a pumpkin. Been shipped around from team to team since going to New York.
East Coast, West Coast, Mid-Coast.
So it's like
But Gabrick has had his own issues throughout his career.
Gabrick hasn't been the same since he had both of his hips replaced. Right.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm wary of spending that much money considering I know we've got talented kids coming up that are with the team right now that are going to need to get paid in the near future.
Well, my personal opinion is that it's either going to be Molson or going after Vanek. Whether they get Vanek or not is still up in the air. I know there's obviously a lot of speculation and rumors that with Parisi and Suter here, Vanek is, you know, looking at coming back home, but I'm kind of liking Molson's play right now. But you, Aaron, you brought up a very valid point. I mean, with some of these younger players, why wouldn't we want to just retain these guys and not worry about getting the big contracts out there? Or not ignoring the bigger contracts and saving some of that cap space.
Well, and I guess in my opinion, in the end, what it comes down to is you can only have, you know, we talked about having veterans around, but you've only got so much money to have a couple of decent veterans around.
Well, if we can get rid of Brodziak, clear up Brodziak and Heatley's cap space, I mean, that's going to be a big help right there. But, you know, again, like Aaron had mentioned, we're going to have these young guys that we're going to want to retain that are going to be playoff-type players. I think Granlund especially, who showed his leadership when he was playing for Finland, you know, you don't want to lose a guy like that.
No, you don't. But no. Then, you know, you also can't completely bet on all your young talent that still has yet to prove itself and you know, well, become what you project them to be.
No, this is true, and I mean, kind of like what happened with Gabrick. A lot of eggs were put in the one basket with Gabrick, and he was a top scoring leader for the Wild.
And what happened to the Wild when that whole project kind of didn't pan out?
Well, it's tough to be a top scoring guy when you're playing on a very defensive minded team.
That, and when you're always injured.
You know, had
like
we
a glass jaw.
Had we had the young
glass groin,
right?
Had we had the young Gabrick that was actually in his prime at that point, now
in when he was 20,
yeah, you know, early 20s. Had we had him now, I think the Wild would be looking. I think that would definitely help our scoring odds.
But that goes back to Fletcher. Fletcher needs to, be smart about the people he trades away, get good draft picks for them, and then draft well. And if he's not,
keep the young team going.
You have to keep those, just like Chicago. You got to keep those young players cycling through. You're not going to keep them all, you know. Nope. But the ones, if you're drafting right, you know, if injuries happen, those kids can come up and they're ready. I don't know that we're there right now because, I mean, we got guys on that are knocking on the door, but they haven't really shown what they can do or haven't really produced once they've got there. I mean, as much as we like guys like Coyle and Halla,
there's glimmers of hope.
Yeah, I mean, Coyle, Halla, Fontaine. Fontaine's been doing pretty well. You know, we got forwards here that are coming up, Zucker, that are coming up, and there's glimmers, but they're not getting enough of time to actually show what they can do, and we don't really have the time to show them. So they need to figure it out in the AHL and get up there and play when they're in there.
That's because it's win now, right? You know?
Yeah.
We're not worried about winning tomorrow. We want to make sure we win today.
Right.
And everybody's going to win the Stanley Cup this year. Otherwise, the coaches are getting fired.
Yeah, everybody's fired. You're all fired. We're rebuilding the NHL.
And so what do? Then they shift the coaches around and...
Well, you know. Apparently, that's worked out really well for the Rangers in Vancouver this year.
Right.
So, I mean, since we're talking about scoring and winning and losing potentially, Koivu, just last night, he's had 3 points on the night in that six-goal game. And he now moves into first place all-time leading scorer with the Wild, passing Gabrick, who we just spoke of. He moves into with 438 points into first place with Gabrick at 437. So now, at this point, Koivu leads the Wild in assists, and he has for a while, actually. And now he's 88 goals shy of Gabrick's mark, which is, you know, considering how infrequently he scores, 88's a lot of goals to even come close to that.
Gretzky, you could do it in a year.
Yes, but I don't think we'll be calling him Wayne Koivu anytime soon.
Koivu the Great.
Do you think he'll ever catch Gabrick for the Wild goal scoring record. And do we think he'll be with the Wild long enough to actually even come close? Because of the aforementioned cap space issues we're going to run into.
I would have to say that Mikko Gretzky would, will probably never reach that mark. I mean, he does score some goals, but I don't think that actually his time here will be that much longer. Because he's another one that, well, I mean, he's getting longer in his career here, and he's going to expect, you know, to be paid accordingly. And based on that, I see that as kind of a big opening where you could free up some space to bring in some other talent.
Well, I'm looking at it this way. He's 31 right now.
Yep.
So far this season, in 52 games played, he's scored 8 goals. So you're looking at, just over, 60% of the games?
Oh, nerds!
Which would now put him at, maybe 11 goals on the season if he keeps up at this pace?
Sure.
Does he have another 8 seasons with the Wild?
Well, that's assuming you think he's going to score that few goals, because I don't think this year is necessarily indicative of what he's done in the past.
And if you see him being here for another 8 years. Because really, if you think about it, when you think about the Minnesota Wild, who would you put as the face of the Wild right now?
Well, right now it'd be Mikko.
You really think so?
No, Parisi.
That's who I would say. That would be my
Parisi,
vote.
Suter.
Yeah.
And okay.
There you go.
just looking back at the past few seasons, 17 goals, 12 goals, 11 goals. But I mean, that's without playing full games. 2009-2010, playing 80 games, he got 22 goals, and I think that's the high of his career, is 22 goals in a season. I don't see him being long enough. Honestly, I don't see him being long enough in the league to tie Gabrick's goals for the Wild. My personal opinion.
Okay. How long do you see him sticking around here then?
What's he got, 3 years left on his contract? I think.
Doesn't mean he has to be here for
No, it doesn't. No.
He's got 4 more years after.
Four
this.
More years?
Yeah. And at $6.7 million, $6.7 million, so if you think he's not producing, why would another team want to spend that much money and take him off our hands, you know?
I don't see him. Well, it's going to be tough because it's not a player you can put on waivers.
Right.
It's going to be tough trading him. I think unless his performance goes way down in the following couple of years, I think he'll write out his contract with the Wild and then maybe not get re-signed, or as a UFA, I think him and his lawyer guy, agent. Thank you. him and his agent might be shopping around at that point and probably pick something else up to ride out the last 4 or 5 years of his career. That's what I see happening.
Go to a retirement home.
Yeah, right. Maybe, you know, yeah. Like Vancouver or something.
Vancouver. Just to go on the nerd level here. So he's been averaging over his career, just crunch the numbers. He's averaging 17.7 goals per 82 games, right? So, you know, he could do it in 5 years.
Yeah.
But, I think any way you cut it, he's going to have to be extended for him to even come close to that, right?
Yeah.
You know, so, and at that point, he's going to be 36, you know? And we know how well that's done for us so far this year, extending a 35-year-old Finn. You know.
Don't remind us.
So.
Suomi.
So my guess, in my infinite wisdom, I'm going to say he's going to come really close, actually. But I don't think we're going to keep him around.
I don't think he'll be around long enough to tie Gabby's most goals.
Somebody else, though, may come close to that soon. Maybe a little scrappy type player that we have. No. The one we just talked about being the face of
the Wild. He's got a long ways to go.
He's got a ways to go, but how, do you see Minnesota ever letting that go under their will.
No, but you got to remember he also didn't start off the franchise. I mean, he's coming in. He got signed, missed a half a season due to lockout.
Yeah, but he's signed through like 2025 or something.
How many goals did Gabby have? What was Gabby's total goals? Anybody know off the top of their head?
I don't know.
Okay. I think he's got a lot of space to make up, and he's not getting any younger either.
So you don't think Parise can even touch it?
I don't think so. He might come close with total points, but I don't think he's going to come close with goals.
So he's been averaging about 25, 30 goals a season.
Yeah, he would have a better shot than Koivu.
He and if he signed for what, another 13 years, 12 years, whatever it is.
Yeah.
11 years after the season.
Yeah, that's going to put him in his 40s though.
Gabrick's got 219 for goals.
Parise maybe then.
You know, all he needs to do is score 22 goals a season for 10 years. And he's already done, you know, more than that in his shorter career.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's within the realm of possibility. Yep. You know, I think it's fair.
I'd say he's more apt to do it than Koivu.
I can't disagree with that.
I think we've reached an agreement.
I think so.
Hear ye, hear ye.
All right. With that, let's move on. We'll talk about the injuries or... shall I say, the lack thereof. We do have a couple of...
knock on wood.
Yes, knocking on wood right now. This
laminate
section,
wood, maybe.
This section was handed to me to talk about this because nobody else wanted to be the ones that jinxed it.
We got our scapegoat now.
Right. It's all Jai's fault. But we do have Backstrom. The website posts him as being shut down. He's missed, the last six games or so here. Right. So we're not sure if we're going to see him at all again this season. Zucker and Harding are still both on IR. Zucker, I guess it turns out, his injury stemmed from getting a puck to the knee.
Yeah.
That was way back in January, though, right?
Right.
The beginning of January. And so apparently...
Played for another month on that
right,
knee.
Keep skating out, right? Oh, it hurts, but I can keep going. But, yeah, I mean, you got to give it to him for playing through it. Though I think now that I think back to some of those games, like where I'd have seen him in there, you might kind of think about it. He was missing a step in there, maybe.
Right, because usually he's...
He's pretty speedy, he's got some wheels on him.
So, but apparently that may require him having some surgery here that might end his season here. But so wish him well. But then we've also got Harding, who actually did, he spent his St. Paddy's Day strapping on the pads once again and taking some shots. So
I'm not entirely surprised about that. I think if they're still trying to figure out the correct cocktail of medication to give him right now, I think they're going to have him on the ice on and off just to see how he's reacting with it. So, I mean, I think just seeing him strapping on the pads and taking shots is definitely no indication on whether he's going to be game fit or not. I think it's them just maybe trying out to see how he's handling whatever concoction they're giving him.
And that's the positive thing, though, is that his... I know that his disease can be kind of physical, but really he doesn't have an actual physical injury like a broken leg that's going to keep him out right now. You
right.
know? If they can come up with,
he could be in theory, he could be ready in a couple of days.
Right.
But then again, we don't know what his, physical regimen's been, How has he been staying in hockey shape?
Yeah, has he been able to work out at all? Right?
Yeah, that's going to be the other question. I mean, he might be able to be on the ice taking pucks, but is he physically ready to start doing that at an NHL level?
So do you guys think there's a chance we see him before the end of the year?
I'm going to stick to my super negative way, and I hate to say it, but I think his career's done.
I'm going to have to agree with you, unfortunately. I wish it wasn't that way, but... Right. I think
especially the way he started the season. I mean, he was lights out at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
I think he still leads the league in goals against average.
Carried the Wild.
You know, when Backstrom failed us again, there's Harding out of nowhere.
Right there to back us up.
And it's a super bummer. But, maybe he'll get to play another game, but I don't think that it's going to – I would put it at less than 10 is how much he has left in his career.
Well, in that said, I guess I'm not sure – I'm not in his shoes. I don't know, how long he honestly thinks he can physically do, playing a professional sport.
I don't see him trying to give up. I mean, if he's still under contract, I still see him trying to adjust medication or working with his doctors, adjusting his medication and trying to get out on the ice and still being active. And trying to get back.
What I can say is that I think that we got Minnesota Nice going on here, so I know that he's going to suit up once more at least for the Wild,
right,
and at least skate out there and,
Probably.
Yeah.
He'll probably be a standing O at the same time.
Exactly. Yep. That's how we roll around here, right?
Right.
Besides the goalie issues we've dealt with all year long, which seem to be solidifying, but then yet we still always have questions.
Right.
Really, for the rest of the team, we can knock on wood again. Everybody is fairly healthy. I mean, I sit here and watch my sports wire come across with all these injuries across the NHL, but none of those are including us, really.
You know what it is, though? We had injuries. They happened right before the Olympic break. They couldn't have happened at a better time.
Right.
Every team has injuries and that are debilitating. We happened to have them in front of a month-long break. You don't get chances like that, in a normal season. So
no, you don't. And I mean,
if Bettman has his way, we won't have that chance ever again, right?
Right.
So does this mean that when the Olympics,
hockey fans are special?
when the Olympics come up next time, that, the players won't go, so we're going to be sitting there having to choose between watching Team USA or watch whatever crappy all-star teams are playing against each other for the all-star game and for the NHL?
Well, I can tell you this. If it comes down to that, I will be watching Team USA.
Yeah, absolutely.
I will definitely not watch the NHL.
No, it's going to be a problem. It's not going to happen because you know why? And I know we're getting really off topic here, but Russia is going to send their pro team, and they're going to annihilate everyone. We're going to be sending college kids or whatever as part of Team USA.
Well, and it's not just Team USA. I mean, look at Team Finland. Look at
Canada.
Look at Team Canada.
Right.
Canada and U.S. are 100% NHL players, both sides.
I think if Bettman had his way, he'd kill the Olympic hockey thing and monetize it for NHL owner profit. There you go. But he's not going to be able to because KHL has good enough talent where
to dominate.
And so I don't think it's going to happen.
So what, you'd have KHL, then you'd have your random European leagues, and then like the Finnish elite, Swedish elite.
Right.
Yeah. You know what? Good luck.
Right.
And as soon as everybody gets dominated, you're going to have a lot of people wanting Bettman's head on a platter. More so than now.
Hockey fans are special.
Yeah.
Well, and maybe his head on the platter wouldn't be a bad thing.
Well, before the next Olympics and even before the Stanley Cups, the Wild have a few games coming up this week.
Yeah, in more near-term future.
In our more immediate future and whatnot. Big game. Big, big, huge game coming up tomorrow, Thursday, March 20th. Yeah. Is Parise's return to New Jersey for the very first time.
His first homecoming. That wouldn't be a homecoming over there.
No.
what do you think the reception will be there?
I think it's going to be ugly. I think you're going to hear a lot of booing.
He's not going to get the same kind of reception that Matt Molson got in New York, where they're chanting, "We want Molson" at the end of the game.
I think this is going to be closer to Suter going back to Nashville.
I think it's going to be worse. I mean, they're New Jersey people.
They're going to want Parisi's head on a platter.
Right. They're one step away from Philly. And we know what Philly fans do to people.
Yeah.
I mean, they threw snowballs at Santa, so.
They did.
So, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be an interesting game.
I think you're going to hear a ton of booing throughout most of the game.
Yeah.
So, Thursday is that. Saturday, Sunday's a pair of big games, too. It's home and home against Detroit.
Back-to-backs.
Back-to-backs, home and home. Jump in a time zone, even. Don't you know. Couple of days off, and then next Wednesday, a week from today, another old school rivalry playing the Canucks in at home.
Yeah, I know.
At home.
Earlier game.
Yeah.
I wonder if who's the mascot guy?
Nordy.
Oh,
yeah. The return of Green Man Nordy. Right.
I forgot we play the Canucks twice this year, don't we? At home.
Return of Green Man Nordy.
I really hope we get Green Man Nordy again.
We'll have to be on the lookout.
I almost want to get tickets for that game now just to see if we get Green Man Nordy.
You just want a picture with Green Man Nordy, don't you? You're
damn right I do. I would love a picture with Green Man Nordy.
So I guess with that, we might as well get into the game of the week. So way, way back when the game of the week was chosen was Blues at Wild. That was at shootout loss. Jive correctly predicted the score 3-2. That moves him into a two-way tie for second with Kenny.
I'm coming.
Yo.
They're both a win behind me, so we're all pretty damn close.
Josh is getting farther down.
He's getting farther down.
Actually, he's holding his own there.
He's doing all right, probably because we're picking for him most of the time. and speaking of that, game of the week this upcoming week, Jive, you have selected.
I think I'm going to go with Detroit Lit.
I had to read that about three times to make sure he wasn't sitting on his phone on Detroit Lit and putting this in.
No, Detroit Lit's going to come here and visit on Saturday, so I'll pick the Wild game at home here. So Aaron, what's your pick?
I'm going with the Wild winning 4-2. If you look at the Red Wings on the road last handful of games, they've lost a whole bunch of them, and most of them by two or more goals. A lot of them were three goals, but considering they're playing the Wild, I'm going with the 4-2 win, a two-goal victory margin there. Kenny?
You know, I like your thought about actually not being a one-goal game with the Wild this season, but I'm going to go a little less. I'm going to go 3-1. I think our goalies will keep it down to at least, at the most, one goal.
And for me, I'm going to go with the tried and true 3-2 because, I mean, heck, I think that out of the last probably 5 weeks, five winners have chosen the score of 3-2.
It's hard to not to bet against, isn't it?
It is.
So, you know, I think this is the first week where the last person to choose actually got to pick 3-2.
I think you're right, actually.
That's all right. And I'm going with the Wild with the win here because they'll be at home. I think that they will be able to pull this one off, though, you know, not always a sure bet at home. But, yeah, that's what I'm going to go with. And then for Josh, we're going to give him 3-2?
We're giving 3-2.
3-2, but he's got the Wings, right?
Yeah, he gets the Wings.
So he's with the Red Army.
Basically, if the Red Wings win, Josh wins. It doesn't matter what the score is.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. So we're giving it to him if the Wild fail.
If the Wild fail, yep. It's Josh's game.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
It's his to win there.
Right. So I think we've kind of cruised through the topics at hand here. And we've already burned up an hour plus, so I'll just kind of put the end cap on this.
Before we finish, can I read Josh's outro?
Do it.
Okay. So, Aaron, where can we find you?
Yeah, you can find me, like I said at the top of the show, when I'm not here doing this podcast, I'll be tweeting Wild Games for Three in the Box, and that's at Three in the Box on Twitter. You can also find my personal account at AaronGNP. And you can also check the three of us out at pinrot.com for our music stuff.
I'm Jive, and you can follow me at Twitter, at Jive Midnight. You know, sometimes I'm there, sometimes I'm not.
You can follow me at RoddenK999 on Twitter. Usually sitting with Aaron, you know, doing the tweet casting at 3inthebox.com.